So we know as we hear our readings that the church chooses for us throughout the year. Many times we experience the love and the mercy of God in those readings, but other times, once in a while, we had a very challenging reading like we do today. And so we might start to panic a little bit and say, Father, what does that mean? Well, you know, we always have to go back to Jesus' time and place. We also always have to read the passages that we hear and keep in mind the context that they are as they flow through the Gospels. And you know, at this time in Jesus' ministry, he had been preaching for quite a while. He had many miracles and wonderful things that backed up just who he was as the Son of the living God, as God himself. And he had a large group of people that were starting to trust him and believe in him and follow him. And these were the people that were starting out on their faith journey with Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus calls all people, but we have free will, and so God always respects the choices that we make. But the grace of conversion is given to all of us. So we know also from the Gospels that unfortunately there were many people, despite hearing him teach, seeing his miracles, and all that stuff, that were still holding out, that were still trying to trap him, that were still trying to persecute him. They had no interest in his message and in converting. And so those are the people that the Lord is talking to today in this Gospel. And so is it prevalent for our own time too? Well, yes, we know that there are a lot of Christians out there, Catholics, that maybe have abandoned their faith. There's a lot of people in our world today that still need to be converted, that need to come to Jesus and aren't even aware of the gifts that he is offering to them. And so what do we as Catholics who are part of that oldest and largest Christian Catholic tradition believe about salvation? How are we truly saved? Well, I thought of a little example that I can share with you today. I remember in high school, my sister and I were always really kind of competitive, I suppose, as siblings are. I mean, we get along great today, but there was that competitive nature growing up, of course, and she was always trying to excel me in school, and so she was taking Spanish. She was taking a foreign language, and she started to learn that. She would come home and say a few words, kind of brag about it. See, I can speak a foreign language, or at least I'm starting to. This would challenge me, so it didn't take long before I decided that I wanted to learn a foreign language too. But I was going to learn it much quicker than her. And so I went back to school and, you know, told my instructors that I wanted to do this. And so I got into the class and I thought I was smart enough, like I said, that I could become fluent rather quickly and beat my sister. However, I realized very quickly after the first month that, you know, this was going to take some time and this was going to take some effort. After 6 years of Spanish and high school and college, even at that point, I can only claim to be partially fluent. I still had a lot of work to do. I think my sister had given up on it a long time ago. But I realized that learning a foreign language was indeed a process. It isn't going to happen overnight, but it will eventually happen if you stick with it. And our salvation is just that. It's a process. You know, we started this process like Allie today when we were first baptized as infants. Some of you were maybe baptized even as adults. It doesn't matter. That's the first time, that significant moment when you accepted Jesus, or at least your parents or godparents accepted Jesus for you at that point. And then later on, hopefully, you were confirmed, another significant moment in your faith journey. And hopefully, we've nurtured that, like I know you have, through the Eucharist and through prayer in your lives. And that's how we keep that relationship healthy. That's how we keep learning. That's how we keep moving forward. However, every time, as we always have to acknowledge the opposite also. Every time that we get tempted and give into temptation, that we wander away from God or commit serious sin, when we stop praying, maybe when we stop going to Mass, as some people do, what happens is we obstruct that process of salvation. We stop learning. We stop moving forward in the Spirit. You know, when I didn't keep up with my Spanish throughout the years, I quickly learned the language skills that I was taught. I forgot how to conjugate words in Spanish and put sentences together. And that affected me later as a priest when I tried to reach out to the Spanish communities and the immigrants that are up here in our own city, you know, who are all Catholic. And I realized just how much I had forgot. Why? Because I gave up. I gave up and stopped practicing that language at some point. It wasn't God. It's the same way in our spiritual life. It's not God who ever gives up on us. He loves us. He's always there for us. But it's we who sometimes give into that temptation to give up on Him. And then that process of growing in His grace stops. It's our fault. How many Catholics do we know have given up on prayer completely or have stopped nurturing themselves with the Eucharist on Sunday? In fact, I just read a survey that came out not too long ago that was very shocking, that says over 50% of Catholics no longer believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ like He said it was. That they now believe, as the Protestants do, that it's just a symbol, that it's not that important. It couldn't be more untrue, but many have fallen into that trap. How many do we know have lost their sensitivity to sin and no longer see any reason to repent? How many have invited other material gods into their lives that have no power to save them? And now maybe have even become addictions that bind them and keep them from moving forward. This is how we interrupt that saving process. And as Jesus says today in our gospel, like He said to the people of His own time that were resisting conversion, if we stay interrupted and if we fail to reconnect with God before we die, we may very much find ourselves locked out of the feasts. And no one wants that, because that's hell. And God doesn't want us to go there, and neither do we. But the good news today is that we believe in a God who is truly good, who is truly merciful, who is truly loving and desires that all would be saved and has sent His Son, who has saved humanity through His sacrifice for our sins by His dying on the cross. And through that, He has opened up the possibility of salvation, which is now offered to each of us and to every soul and every generation throughout time, that opportunity to choose life, that opportunity to choose the salvation that God wants to give us. But we have to show God that we really want it, that we really desire it. And so as Catholics, we believe that salvation is a process that we participate in with God's help by saying yes to that free gift of salvation that is offered to us through Christ each and every day. And yet, as we all know, and we're all guilty of this, we can often say yes to something and not follow through with it. Follow through with what we agreed to do. And that's why, as Catholics, and for all Christians, good works should sprout from our faith life. And that's why they are so important, because they prove that saying yes to God's will in our lives really means just that, yes. You know, it's common knowledge that when we're invited to a special feast or a special party or event that we would like to attend or that we're excited about, we can't wait to RSVP, get that in the mail or by phone call or email. And then we continually look forward to that celebration. And so too, the Christian is invited to share in the Feast of the Kingdom. We already have RSVP'd, like Allie will shortly here in a moment today, by baptism. That was our RSVP, and through confirmation. And now we are called to live our lives looking forward in hope toward the day in the future when we will have arrived through that narrow gates at the doors to the eternal kingdom, where we'll finally be one with our Lord and God forever in eternal bliss. And it's the Eucharist received in grace and in faith that will sustain and will strengthen us on that life's journey and help us to get there where we should all long to be.